confirming your quorum, and therefore we can proceed with our meeting. As I pointed out informally, this has been a very, very long day with the engagement with both the internal stakeholders and external stakeholders of the Tuaim local municipality. We have heard what they say in terms of the submissions that they made. To just summarize what happened in the morning, we received a presentation from the MEC of COGTA in the Northwest, where she indicated the reasons why they invoked Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution in respect of that municipality. That is why they dissolved the municipality as the government of the Northwest. We received a presentation in that respect. But secondly, we received a submission from the minister, Deputy Minister Nkadime, who confirmed the fact that Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma did actually look at the matter and she resolved to approve the intervention. We listened to the different stakeholders, political parties within the municipality of Tuaim, that is ANC, EFF, as well as the Democratic Alliance. But equally, we did listen to the stakeholders in that respect from the provincial legislature, who shared with us the same views in respect of that particular matter. We did receive submissions from the trade unions, IMATU, as well as SAMU, who gave us their perspectives, and those were the internal stakeholders who shared with us some pertinent information in respect of the decision of the provincial government of the Northwest to disband that municipality. But we also received the submissions from the external stakeholders in this regard, the youth organization, as well as the business forum Tuaim local municipality. Lastly, we received a submission from SALGA, a parent body that represents all the municipalities in the country. They also gave us their perspectives. Now we are here, honorable members. We have prepared a report. The report is before you. You know what I'm going to do, for the sake of fairness and to allow members to make their reflections, I propose that we must firstly start by discussing for maybe about 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so, to just based on what was submitted, we have a general discussion before I take you through observations as well as the recommendations that we need to look at. I think it's quite proper because, as you are aware, the issue is emotive, is contentious, it is also contested. And therefore, it is only proper that I allow you to make some reflections about what you have observed in that situation, and independent from this report that we have composed, that we are going to present before you, just share with us your views about this whole process. And thereafter, I can then take you through the report, place it before you, have a short discussion again. And thereafter, in the final analysis, we decide whether to approve or to disapprove the intervention to dissolve the municipality in the Northwest, that is, Tuaim local municipality. Over to you, honorable members. The floor is open. Can I invite you to make some comments if you want to? If you don't, I can go straight to the report and present it. Over to you. I know Honorable Bartlett. Yes, you can speak, Honorable Bartlett.
Yes, Chair, I think all of us went to the meeting in the morning, and I think the both of us rather go straight to the report because we made input in the morning, but I think after the report then we can have some discussion. Do the members agree with that, Chair?
Okay, no, thank you very much. Honourable Professor?
Honourable Chair, I support Honourable Bartlett. I think we must just go through that report. Thank
okay.
you,
Chair. Okay, I'll do that. Must make sure that the report is lighted. I'm going to read it from your wall because, okay, Honourable Kenny Mutamai of the EFF, you want to say something?
No, Chairperson, I'm okay. I was just supporting the Honourable Bartlett what she was saying.
Okay.
I think
No problem. I'll do exactly that. Moss, can you fly the report, please? So that I'm going to battle a bit because I'm losing my phone here and I just hope that no one is going to call me in the process because that person is going to disrupt me. The background and hello?
The report is already on the screen.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm taking you through the report. I'm not going to take you through the background and overview. I've already touched on that. But to just give a summary, the report points out the fact that the Northwest government invoked Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution. It has dissolved the municipality. And the fact that we received a report from the provincial government where it indicated that it took a decision on the 22nd of September to dissolve the municipality, and they have accordingly informed the NCOP, the provincial legislature, as well as the minister. And we are within that 14 days period where in which we must take a decision. As I pointed out, in Parliament on Wednesday, I will be presenting a report on behalf of the committee. That is the background to this particular report. Take us to no, just go down a bit. Just go down a bit. No, go up. Go up. Go to. Yes. And I'm done with background and overview. Go to point two. I've given just I've sketched out the overview in terms of the consultative meeting that we held this morning. Point three deals with the presentation by the Northwest Department of COCTA. We have received that. Point four, it sketches the background. We have dealt with that. I've already explained it in detail. Point five, it deals with the procedural matters relating to the dissolution of the municipality. Just stand there, Moss. Just stop there. I think we must skip this one because I've already stated it. I've stated the fact that the NCOP was accordingly informed, the cabinet was informed, the cabinet minister was informed, and in that respect, the Tuayin local municipality, through the speaker of the municipality, wrote a letter to the provincial government whereby they objected to the intervention. Point number five is what is contained in the report of the MEC, in which it deals with good governance and administration, administrative instability, the reasons why they decided to invoke Section 139. Point six deals with the financial management challenges which led to the dissolution of the municipality. Number seven, to the dissolution of the municipality. Point eight, it deals with, it that addresses the provision of support in terms of section 154 of the Constitution, which is a constitutional requirement that the provincial government must support, it must strengthen the capacity of the municipalities, it must also monitor the performance of different municipalities. We have dealt with that, and we have our own observations about the role that the provincial government has played in respect of that. Point 9 deals with the opinions and the views as expressed by different political parties, the DA, the Economic Freedom Front, the ANC, the Freedom Front Plus, the opinion of IMAT as a union, the opinion of SAM as a union, the Swahili Business Chamber express a view as well, the ANC Youth League express a view, and SALGA as well express a view on the decision of the provincial government to invoke section 1391C of the Constitution in respect of that municipality. We also solicited the views of the portfolio committee in the legislature. Yes, there was Mr. Nell, Mr. Motswana, as well as Mr. Choibe, who expressed the views and that the observations. That is where I must then take you through, read paragraph by paragraph. The select committee has noted that the Department of COCTA submitted a written notice to the cabinet member responsible for local government on the 28th of September 2021, to the provincial legislature and the National Council of Provinces on the 28th of September 2021. The Minister of COCTA concurred on the 6th of October with the Northwest Provincial Executive Council decision to dissolve the Council of Twain Local Municipality. The Select Committee has further noted that the Northwest Department of COCTA submitted a written notice to Twain Local Municipality on the 1st of October for the attention of the Municipal Council through the Mayor Speaker and an engagement with the Municipal Council for a visual meeting was arranged to take place on the 7th of October 2021. The Speaker of the Twain Local Municipality has written to the MEC of the Department of COCTA raising concern and her inability to convene Council until the MEC responds to the letter from their lawyers relating to the court interdict status. While noting that the substantive matter relating to the invocation of Section 1391C of the Constitution in the local municipality revolves around local government pillars of financial management, service delivery, and good governance, the Select Committee has, however, noted that the majority of the internal and external stakeholders who oppose the invocation of Section 1391C of the Constitution in the local municipality, with the exception of some and the ANC Youth League. The Select Committee has taken cognizance of the constitutional provision that the dissolution takes effect 14 days from the date of receipt of the NCOP, that is the 13th of October 2021. According to the notice, if the dissolution takes effect, the Department of COCTA will expedite the appointment of the administrator and team, develop clear terms of reference for the administrator, and monitoring plan by the interventions task team. Based on these observations that we put on the table, honorable members, we place the following recommendations. Having virtually consulted and engaged with the Department of COCTA, as well as the internal and external stakeholders of the local municipality, the Select Committee recommends the NCOP in terms of Rule 101 as follows. 1. The NCOP approves or disapproves the invocation of Section 1391C of the Constitution in the Tswain local municipality. That said, I'm opening the floor so that you must address us on this matter. And what is it that needs to be done? We need to discuss and take a decision in that respect. Over to you, Honorable Members. Honorable Karen Fesser, I can see your hand.
Thanks to Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, for me as a citizen of the Tswain municipality, as a former councillor of this municipality, it is a very, very difficult ruling to make. Because on the one hand, we sit with, as I've requested the mayor, and she could not provide me with the necessary answer of 68 million rand that was deposited into the bank account that was frozen at the time on the 1st of July, and on the 24th of August, the balance in that account was 1.2 million. There was non-payment of medical aid contributions, not ESCOM, not SARS that they owe 50 million rand, nothing like that. So where did the money go? That is out in the public domain. It is in such a way that you heard the business chamber that these people had to provide all the diesel, all the finances for about 6, 7, 8 months to keep that municipality going. As I speak now, I'm trying to get hold of people to come in from outside, as where the largest part of that municipality is without electricity due to cable theft last night. And they will not have electricity for the next 2 weeks. They were just conveyed before this meeting started. So in terms of that, and in terms of the absence of constant, and if I, and I respectfully, I do not want to politically involve myself in this, I respectfully convey this to you. If I look at the at what was happening around me, I saw people for whom I saw a part of the ANC that was concerned, and I saw another part of the ANC that was not there. They were never there. They did not answer their telephones. The MM was not there. He was in Pretoria building a new house for him in Pretoria. Things like that happened that made it extremely difficult to understand why that the DA requested 9 times the speaker for a council meeting to discuss service delivery issues from 2 years ago, and she just kept ignoring it. Service delivery failure did not happen overnight. It already started way back from 2007. And we are now at the stage that do we need to have a rubber stamp on the dissolution of this municipality from the NCFB, because in this period from 2007 up till now, the only national intervention was from Honorable Thandi Modise in 2010, and Honorable, who's the one of finance that's with us on the NCFB, the Indian man? Sorry, I'm overtired. I cannot remember all the names. But he himself was also there. Since then, there has been nobody of national even interested. I myself, as a councillor, several times wrote to Department of Water and Sanitation, Department of Kohta, to the president. Honorable, the ex-president Zuma even invited me to his office way back in 2009 and said, we promise you we will get the sewer out of the streets. I do not know if any one of you know what it is if a bank phones you and say, we cannot allow customers to come into the bank because they walk through ankle deep raw sewer to get into the bank. It is a risk for us that the SPAR and people like that are complaining about that. Where people work here in the middle of the night with sewer in the corridors of their houses. And even if you want to get hold of the mayor, they do not answer their telephones. Okay, so now what do we do? At this stage, we don't know where the money is. Can we trust an administrator, of which we had three administrators recently, that left without even leaving close down report, without any feedback from the provincial government? And if I tell you my communication with the provincial government before I came back, I was first in the Department of Water and Sanitation in the previous house. So on that stage, I had to go back to the province to stand in for my provincial leader for 9 months. And in that 9 months, I built relationships with people in the legislature. So I had their telephone numbers. I made contact with them. I phoned them regularly. They answered their telephones. But leaders in Tuaim did not answer their telephones. They assisted me in as far as they listened to me and said, well, they will see if they can do something. So the task team, the rapid response unit, you name it, there was not one that did not know about this. But there was no physical intervention between the provincial legislature and Tuaim Municipality. They were left alone as the naughty child, as they did with other municipalities in Northwest as well. And as the minister said the day that we debated in council, when I mentioned the faction fightings and how it affects our municipalities, she said she acknowledged, she took cognizance of the faction fights, but she will leave it at that. And honourable members, if we as a committee do not put politics aside and look at good governance and establish the integrity of the NCOP as a governing thing, not a judge to sit in and to judge them of what they did and did not do, but look at the stuff in front of us, then this thing, I agree with Councillor Stofile about how we respond on these many municipalities that we had in this house. If we take Maluti Apafong, all those municipalities with almost similar problems, how do we get out of this thing without negatively impacting our integrity, but to look into this thing? And I thought of getting in an administrator, yes, in a certain effect an administrator, or then the provincial or national treasury, to take charge of the finances of Tuaim until such time that they have a newly appointed municipal manager and a CFO. Because, and on the other hand, we've got this court case, this judgment, this interdict, as I call it, that they laugh about in the street, that the two ladies can keep the whole country hostage. Okay, so now they sit there, they keep us all hostage. Nobody can come into Tuaim to do anything. Even the Honourable Tuaile, when he came, he had to stand outside the gate. He wasn't allowed to go into the area of the municipality, which is utter nonsense. But you know what happened? They approached the court. They added everybody, all nine premiers. I've shared with most of you the judgment. With all the president, the minister, everybody. And nobody appealed or said, no, this is not going on. So what happened is the court, the judge, then confirmed this thing, and that he made it a ruling that nobody can come into the province. So what do we need now to get access to services and to stuff like that? is we need to get Mr. Maruti out of Tzwarin as the municipal manager, according to the bank. That is what they say, because he's got the authority to use the money. If I look into the, and I do not do this to name and shame anybody, but if I have to convey the truth with you, I have to tell you this. If I look back into, he was in Tzwarin as a CFO in 2011. The Tzwarin Council had to pay him 2.2 million to get rid of him because of irregularities. He then went to Ventersdorp. In Ventersdorp, he was appointed also as the CFO and then the acting MN. The last management report of the AG explicitly wrote in that thing that what is needed is there is so much irregularities with tenders and contracts that a case must be opened and this thing must be investigated by SAPS as well as the public protector. And then Ventersdorp was merged with Tlokwe, which is now JV Marks, and nothing happened. The next best thing that happened is Mr. Maruti was recycled back to Tzwarin and he became the MM there. And I approached the council, I took the documents to them, I said he lied in his CV. Despite anything, the whole ANC of the Nakamadiri Mulema District Municipality was sitting on the gallery. And I had signed letters of resignation of every councillor that did not ANC councillor that day will not sign. So on the fourth time we had the same meeting to appoint an MM for Tzwarin. They sat there and all the ANC councillors were obliged to sign that. And I say this respectfully because I come a long way with a lot of those councillors. And I know the value those councillors have in council and in the community. So to me, in a certain way, it is unfair that it is expected that the NCOP in this late hour go in and approve a section 139(1)(c). The council in any way is closed. There's nobody there. I go there every day to the IEC. There's only security guards sitting outside and sleeping in front of the building. There are nobody else. The business people are running the municipality. They pay for everything. Okay, so what do we do now? If we use the 139(1)(c), we will have a vacuum between the consumers and the municipality, because the consumers know the councillors who assist them. They will know who to phone when there is no electricity or water or anything like that. Now those councillors are removed. Okay, that is fine. If that is if it has to happen, that is fine. But now they've removed them. What is now is to put one administrator there to look after everything. There's no oversight. We do not know what happens to the money in Tzwarin. So there's no oversight over the next equitable share that's coming in. Apart from that, will that administrator be able to handle between 3,000 and 4,000 complaints per day from consumers? Constantly, in the middle of the night, business people not having water, not having the services that they pay for. And that is my biggest concern. Is I want the best for the people of Tzwarin. And yes, the people, the communities of Tzwarin are suffering. The communities are suffering to such an extent that I stood outside in January, and outside the temperature was 38 degrees, and inside a makuku was a man sitting with a young child, and the child was crying. I walked in because they called me and said I had to come and look. When I got there, and I got into that makoko with one door, no window, no nothing else. The temperature inside that makoko was 52 degrees, and they did not have a drop of water, not for a few hours, for weeks on end. So much so that we discovered, we started reporting in August last year of a water, that water from six pumps are pumped from Gysdorp, which is 25 kilometers on the western side of Delareyville. They pumped water for 6 months, for a year. And in August, I said to the councillor, you go and you walk that 25 kilos and find out where is the water going, because no water comes to Delareyville. In the end, two inland pans, salt pans, we call it South Pana because it's limestone. The water was so deep in those pans, and those pans are only fed by rainwater. There's no river connected to them. All the water were pumped by the Nakamadiri, who is our water authority, and Twain, the water services provider. Twain stop and starts the pumps. They don't check if the water comes to the reservoir. They just say there's no water. So these people are all subjected, and there are thousands of them in Matsela Park, Sentumule, and the new next extension that they're building. The same thing happens with electricity. Electricity, Mr. Maruti never approached Eskom to request an increase on the maximum daily demand. A house burned down, buildings burned down, the doctors left Delareyville. There's no doctors there anymore except for at the hospital, the state doctors. The sonar machine of the one doctor burned out three times of power surges. It's 450,000 rand a time that he had to replace. If you go to Superquick, Ford, all those people, I visited them last week. They said, we want to see you. We are going to close down business and do the same as Lichtenburg. We have to move away from here, because it's now years. It's not months. It's years. Every time you're under administration, every time there's new hope, nothing happens, and we sit in the same dilemma. At Superquick and those places, the sewer is flowing in a river into the nature reserve, the only water hole for animals that is now contaminated. They cannot drink it anymore.
Are you not rounding up?
So I just beg with all of you, we have to take the best solution, to find the best solution to steer this municipality from out of the ashes to become a municipality to serve the people. But
what is the best solution?
The best solution, in my mind, is to appoint and to do a 139-1B. To have councillors still assisting the administrator in this very crucial 2 weeks. We cannot be without services. They will burn that place down. To assist us with that, for the provincial treasury to monitor our bank account to see what is happening there. Or next best thing is to withhold the payment of the equitable share until such a time that a new council is elected and appointed sworn in into the council, and then have the money, because at this stage our new council will be starting in the red with no money. So we have to protect this little bit of equitable share that's coming in. The MIG grant is used, so we have to protect this money. I beg you to understand that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I allowed you to speak for a very long time because I know how you feel about trying. I know the work that you did in respect of engaging different people, including myself, in terms of trying. But honorable members, if we are going to speak like honorable Karen, it means we are going to finish at 12 midnight. Just discussing one thing. All that I'm pleading is that without losing the quality of what you want to say and the contributions that you want to make, just be careful of of the time and speak in a way that will help us to come to resolve the matter that is at hand. Any other speaker? Honorable Bartlett?
Yeah, Chair, really I don't want to repeat what was said in the morning and what was said now. According to everything that we've listened in the morning to the MEC, the intervention, the stakeholders, I think Chair, it's just come to one conclusion. It's for us to think about dissolving this municipality because people are suffering on the ground. There are service delivery issues. There's challenges with the finances. There's challenges with the administrators. So, and the municipality Chair already collapsed. So as much as we looked at the timing and the days left, nothing is going to help the municipality at this stage. And like I said, we listened to everything, so I don't want to repeat. And Chair, I think my take on this will be to support the resolution of this municipality. I know I'm speaking too fast now, but really I don't want to repeat. We already listened to everything in the morning in what Honorable Karim was also saying is also on the basis for us not to carry on with this municipality. And even the mayor spoke about it, the MEC spoke about it, the stakeholders spoke about it. So I think it will not help for us to go into their discussion. Let me not say that not going to the discussion, but to discuss the same things that we listened to in the morning. But that's my take on this matter, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. Honorable Mthethwa?
No, thank you, Chair. I won't show off my video. But I think, Chair, let's not go around in circles on this matter. And the two letter speaker already has pronounced on the issue. So what we need to do, Chair, I think it would be good for the community out there that we dissolve this municipality without the waste of time so that we can start now focusing on other issues. I note that it has been long overdue for this municipality, but we have tried all Section 139B. Now let's concentrate on Section 139C and close the matter. I move that this municipality must be dissolved, Chair.
Okay. Honorable S.M. Nkosi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good evening to all of you present in the meeting, Chair. I think we have seen the report. We have had the stakeholders presenting themselves earlier this morning. Most of the stakeholders were not in support of the dissolution because of the infighting that are there in the municipality, of which we all agree that there are a lot of infighting in the municipality. But other than that, Chair, what is key is to look at the running of the municipality. Is the municipality stable or what? Looking at the presentation made, and even the stakeholders that were expressing themselves about the opinion of the dissolution, most of them were indicating that this municipality is non-functional. It is true that the municipality is non-functional. We can't take away that, Chair, whether we like it or not, whether we look at the majority of the people that were saying, let us not dissolve the municipality. But how are we going to be assisted if we are not doing that? Because really, the municipality is non-functional, the municipality is failing to provide services to the community. The key mandate that is given to them is not yet being done. You look at the council meetings, are no longer sitting, Chair. So what is the reason for us to keep this municipality? I fully support my colleagues that are saying, let us dissolve this municipality. Thank you so much, Chair. I submit.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sileko.
Honorable Chair. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, very well. Very
let me greet the members again this afternoon. And also having read the report, and also reaching out in terms of your closing remarks, when you said that the National Department, together with the former MEC of COXA in North West, has decided that this particular municipality must be one of those that should be dissolved. So when I hear most members, you know, engaging and saying, you know, let's close shop and do, you know, I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised why, because some of the members don't listen to reason. They don't listen to reason because in a similar situation in Tshwane, we are very persuasive, not because we belong to a different political party, but we are looking at facts in front of us. And we try to show that that particular intervention was not going to do good and it was not following due process. But unfortunately, because the other party has got more numbers, they bulldoze us. They didn't listen to reason. Thank goodness the judiciary was there to talk sense and tell them that whatever you decided as the NCOP was just to rubber stamp the decision of the provincial minister of local government in Gauteng. And because SALGA also pleaded with us as the NCOP in Tshwane, but we did not listen. Today as well, a majority of people are saying, as much as there is problems in this particular municipality, it does not make sense 14 days before an election that you dissolve a municipality. And I always find us as the committee chair, because we are supposed to be permanent delegates of provinces, but when we deal with municipalities, we forget that we represent provinces. We wear the hat of political parties, and even our arguments, some of our the majority don't have substance, because the decision was already taken that we must dissolve, regardless of what people come. Now, when SALGA tells you that it does not make sense, and a member of the provincial legislature, who is the chairperson of local government in Northwest, also says the same, and a former MEC also says the same, that the timing is wrong for us to dissolve this particular municipality. Why is it so difficult for us to allow the elections to take place so that the new council comes into governance and then they try to turn things around and then proper support can be given to this particular council? Instead, what we always tend to do, Chair, when the ANC does not have the guts, when the ANC leadership does not have the guts to deal with their deployees in council, they use legislative processes like this NCOP to deal with these members. Because the issue here, Chair, it's not council, it's ANC councillors. Because the composition of the council, the opposition is less than 10 members. And the majority of people that are causing problems in Northwest, in this particular municipality, is ANC members. But the ANC, because they want to portray as if they are united, they don't want to deal with their members. Now they want to use us as NCOP members to dissolve municipalities. And Chair, if we continue in this instance and in this way, we are still going to dissolve a lot of municipalities and see zero progress or no progress at all. Because some of the issues here, as much as it is administrative, if you are not able to deal with them over a period of 5 years, surely, Chair, logic tells you that there is nothing that you can do within a period of 21 days before an election. If the there was an administrator or there was an MM that was not doing his job. The ANC councillors that are the majority in that council should have dealt with an official. There is legislation that tells you when your section 56 and 57 employees does not comply. You need to deal with them. But because you as the ANC, you are divided, you've got factions, we are finding ourselves in this mess that we find ourselves. And some of the members of the committee have a distance to come and try to justify why you must dissolve, knowingly in their hearts that the only problem here is the ANC councillors. If you have dealt with them, we wouldn't find ourselves in this predicament. We find ourselves in this quagmire because you lack the guts to deal with your deployees and your public representatives. Because you are the majority in this particular council. And your provincial department, that is the authority to support this particular municipality, did not do that. Because there are questions that I've raised, that when Salda said, a few letters was written to the Premier and to the MEC of Coxa, and there was none, and there was no reply whatsoever. And what does your MEC say? Your MEC say, no, I don't know whether there is any letters from my predecessors. She's still going to look at them. So it tells you, Chair, that there was no homework done by this MEC. This MEC was just given a directive, go and dissolve. And they're just going to dissolve it, regardless of what we say. And Chair, it is a sad day for a second time now where members of the committee uses their majority to build those ideas that make sense, because it is politically correct for them to dissolve. And that's how they can deal with their ill discipline in the ANC in the Northwest. Thank you very much, Chair.
I was saying that I was about to call it to order, Honorable Sileku, that you can't stay through the debate and not want members to use their right to express their views about what they think. And because they have views that are different from yours, you attack them in the way that you do. There is a matter that is on the table, and the matter is about the dissolution or not of Swahili municipality. That is what we must speak to. And not casting aspersions on other members who make contributions, who speak to the meeting about the issue at hand. And I'm going to request all of you members, speak to the issue at hand, address the issue at hand, and guide the meeting, and help to say the municipality from a situation that it finds itself in. I think you were the last person to speak, or there is a hand of Honorable Kenny Mutamai, and followed by Honorable Shaikh, in that order. All that I'm saying is that let's express our views. There is a matter on the table, and the matter is about whether or not we must support the action taken by the provincial government of the Northwest to dissolve the municipality of Swahili. That is what we must speak to. Let's not cast aspersions, let's not attack others, let's not point fingers. Let's have a very, very healthy debate in this committee. And at the end of the day, we must make a decision because it is within our right to do so. Over to you, Honorable Mutamai, followed by Honorable Shaikh.
Okay.
very sweet to the point. Honorable Kenny Butsamai, thank you very much. Honorable Shahid.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Chairperson, I think firstly, and thank you for calling the other members to order. But I think firstly, you know, as the NCOP, we do have a history in terms of such mounting initiatives. And I think irrespective of timing, whether it's 14 days, it just happens to be 14 days before an election, etc., we have a responsibility to perform that obligation. Jefferson, I think that, you know, based on the various presentations, irrespective of whether people contest the certain matters or not, the fact that service delivery is not happening or that there's a collapse in service delivery has come quite clearly to the fore. I think with regard to the financial distress issues, and I think Honorable Sisse as well touched on them now, the municipality is in dire straits and they need to be assisted. And I think that, Chair, the fact that there's a collapse in service delivery as well as financial distress issues, I can imagine that this municipality, irrespective of when, might not be able to perform any service delivery issues. Chair. Chair, you know, this is something that there's something that also comes to the fore with regard to this municipality, that even irrespective of whether there was a court order with regard to the meeting that appointed another mayor, I think this municipality, there's still problems within how that council is functioning. But I think what is more critical, Chair, I think are the problems that come to the fore in the administration. And I would say that this matter is very, very critical and it needs serious attention to what's happening in the administration. And, you know, I know we're going through to a local government election, but irrespective of that, Chair, I think even as a council, a new council might come into being, the matter related to the administration must be addressed. Okay. I think that being said, Chairperson, I want to concur with some of the earlier speakers around the matter and agree to the recommendation that the municipality.
Honorable Shahid?
Jefferson, I'm done, thanks.
Oh, you're done. Honorable members, let me also make some remarks in respect of the matter that is on the table. But before that, I want to address two key issues. The first issue is that, in my view, the councillors of Swahili have disappointed the people who have voted them into office, because they have failed to discharge their mandate. They have failed to ensure that there is optimum governance and accountable government in the area of Swahili. They have failed to ensure that there is service delivery in respect of making sure that they deal with all the related issues pertaining to service delivery. They have not promoted accountable government in respect of ensuring community participation. And all of them, irrespective from 2016, they have failed to do that because
there's been a series of interventions which have been made in that municipality as a result of their inability to find one another and to work together for the common good of the people of Swahili. That is the first thing that I want to put forward. And for me, this is disgraceful. It is disgraceful because they have failed and disappointed the people who put them into office. Secondly, personally, I'm not convinced that the provincial government of the Northwest has discharged its responsibilities in respect of supporting the municipality of Twahi accordingly for a period of about 5 years, starting from 2016. I'm not convinced that the provincial government has ensured that it strengthened the capacity of that municipality to execute its work. And I'm also not convinced that the department itself has monitored the performance of the councillors of Swahili. Because if it had done all of these things, it would have long realized that there are serious problems in that municipality. That is the first two key observations that I'm making in respect of this. But what is the fact of the matter? The fact of the matter is we're dealing here with a municipality that is in crisis. There is no denying. I've not heard any person from both the internal stakeholders and the external stakeholders that we met this morning. There is no one who says there is service delivery happening in that municipality. There is no one who says there is something that is positive, something that is very, very good out of that municipality. Nobody. It clearly shows that we're dealing with a municipality that is in crisis. In political terms, the councillors of Twahi spend more time fighting amongst themselves. They fight to an extent of differing and taking one another almost every week and so forth to court because they cannot govern, because they cannot execute the mandate that the people of Swahili have appointed them to do. There are divisions, especially within the governing party, in respect of dealing with the issues of governance in that municipality. And for me, that is a problem. From the side of governance, the council meetings are not taking place. They have not taken place for a while. Where they take place, they are either ad hoc or they do not fulfill what they are expected to fulfill. This municipality is a disgrace to the people of Swahili, the people who have elected them. As I said, the council meetings are not taking place. They keep on taking wrongful decisions. Appointing a municipal manager, disappointing another one, doing all this manner of things that are not in line with the legislative prescriptions. And for me, that is a problem. They do not even play an oversight role in respect of ensuring that those who are in the executive positions are held accountable for what they do. They have appointed, seemingly they have appointed a municipal manager who seems to be a very, very serious problem. And on their own, they have not dealt with that municipal manager where the deviations and deficiencies were happening. I'm not sure. Nobody has told me that there is public participation. But in terms of my information, there is no participation of the public at all in that municipality. And for me, these are some of the problems. There is one speaker who said, one of the things that needed to happen in that municipality was to enforce consequence management for poor performance. This has not happened. Instead, the municipality left, right, and center. It has not complied with the necessary legislation, as well as the regulations and the policies that govern local government. This is very, very much disastrous. This is very, very much disastrous. We are told
this municipality has adopted an unfunded budget. It means they adopt a budget with the money that they do not have. They do not have the money at their possession when they adopted that particular budget. And what is worse, it is when the municipality itself fails to pay, to make payments in respect of third party, whether they pay medical schemes, whether they pay pension fund, they have not paid and complied in the way that they were expected to comply. And they do not even collect revenue. One point that comes up here is that the business forum or the business community in that municipality wanted to collect rates and taxes on behalf of that municipality. And I'm asking myself the question, why did the provincial government as well not play its role to ensure that it deals with these particular issues over a period of about 5 years to support this municipality? I'm told that they have not even submitted, or maybe they have submitted late, the annual financial statements to the Auditor General. What we see year in, year out, it is the skyrocketing of the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, as well as wasteful expenditure in that municipality. The report of the Auditor General says so. It says that this is a crisis in that municipality. Now, the question that I'm asking myself with all of this, and I pointed out the fact that there is no service delivery at all. There is backlog of service delivery. Informal settlements in key areas like Sunnyslope and others that are going up, and that there is total collapse of infrastructure, or that infrastructure that is there is not even maintained, because potholes are the order of the day in that municipality. And we have heard stories about the conduct of municipal workers of that municipality, how just they conduct themselves, how that they do overtime to ensure that they increase their own salaries. And all of this happened with impunity. They happen with impunity because there is no consequence management. There is no action that is taken against any of those people who are responsible. And personally, I take the point. And the point is, the provincial government of the Northwest should have played a very key role in salvaging this situation, in helping one of all these municipalities which have collapsed in the Northwest province. But that is beside the point. I have listened to the discussion this morning, and a lot of people are accusing the MEC for this and that and that and that. But we all know the truth. And the truth is, these problems that we're talking about are historical. And this MEC is only 1 year, 1 month in office. These problems have persisted for over a period of time. Now, my view is that, and we all know sitting here, especially from the side of this committee, we know that Minister Zuma and Deputy Minister Bapela presented a report after they made an assessment of all the 253 municipalities in the country. They made that assessment about the state of affairs, and they said part of the problem is that there are about 64 municipalities that are totally, totally dysfunctional, municipalities that are in crisis, municipalities that are high risk. They've told us that. They've also told us of the decision of the cabinet in respect of these municipalities. And one of those decisions was the fact that Fahim was one of the municipalities that needed to be dissolved. And it needed to be dissolved. Whereas one of the 5 municipalities in the Northwest that were totally, totally had collapsed to an extent that they needed dissolution. For me, as the chairperson of the committee, I'm asking myself the question, under the circumstances, what do we do? Yes, the truth of the matter is that we are left with 21 days before the elections. But I will say here in this meeting, I will say, because we are left with 21 days, the situation can rather be deteriorated because we are going to have elections. That the people can with the officials of that municipality can continue to loot and steal the funds, the public funds, because we are left with 21 days. That these councillors must not be punished for the transgressions that they've committed, because they spend all the time fighting among themselves because we are left with 21 days. And 21 days, it means you are not going to do anything because you are going to have the elections. It means that you must continue and take whatever that is remaining in that municipality and steal it, because we are left with 21 days. I'm asking myself that question, and it bothers me. You say, oh, we are left with 21 days. It means when you are left with a month, when you are left with 2 months, people can act as they wish, because they will not be dissolved, because they are left with only a month. For me, even if they were left with 24 hours, I would still support the dissolution if the dissolution is warranted. If the dissolution is needed, even if they were left with a week, I will still maintain that particular point, because this is what they need to do. But for me, that is not enough. And a lot of stakeholders have told us this morning. They said whatever action that is taken against the police, it must go to administration, because that is where the problem is. That is where the problem is. And these councillors, all of them, the 30 councillors or 29 councillors of our five, have failed to deal with their own person that they appointed as a municipal manager and other Section 56 employees. They have failed to deal with them. They have failed to ensure that they comply in terms of consequence management. They have failed to call them to order. They have failed to take drastic actions against them, including criminal actions. They have failed to do that. And now we are finding ourselves in this situation where we need to take a decision. If this matter was not before us, it was well and good, but the Constitution enjoins us. The Constitution enjoins us that once a decision to dissolve a municipality has been taken, the NCOP through this committee must discuss and place a recommendation to the House on whether to approve or disapprove the intervention. That is all. I wish there was any other thing that we should do or that we could do under the circumstances. I would propose that we do. But in this instance, we are caught into a situation whereby we need to decide whether we dissolve, we support the dissolution, we approve the dissolution, or we do not approve it. And I can hear nobody saying there's no crisis in the municipality. Nobody is saying things are okay in the municipality. But my view, it is that these councillors have acted in the way that they have acted, which I say is disgraceful. But I also express a view that the provincial government for 5 years has not done what we are supposed to do to support the municipality, to capacitate the municipality, to strengthen the capacity of the municipality and to monitor the performance of that municipality. And my view is that this is what must be reflected in this report, to say the provincial government, it cannot be spared from blame in terms of executing its obligations, its constitutional obligation to support the municipalities. It has not done that in the way that inspires confidence, in the way that is acceptable. Instead, it has worsened, in some cases, it has worsened the whole situation that we find ourselves in. Now, honorable members, based on this discussion, I think we must then come to a conclusion whether we finally approve or we disapprove the intervention. I've heard honorable Fraser who say don't approve. I've heard honorable Sile who says don't approve. I've heard honorable Mutsamai who says he was just asking a question, why do you dissolve when you are left with 21 days? And the rest of the members, Honorable Mutepa, Honorable Shahi, Honorable Mposi, yes, and Honorable Butler, they have expressed a view that says this municipality must be dissolved, even if it's late in the hour. I think it deserves to be dissolved. Because in their view, there are exceptional circumstances, and all of these are exceptional circumstances which calls for the dissolution of this municipality. Can I maybe for about 3 to 5 minutes round up the discussion and hear the views of members lastly in a very, very short way before we take a final decision, if it is possible? Honorable Professor?
honourable person. Honourable Chairperson, yes, you are right that the DA will vote against this dissolution. In terms of the fact that no Section 139(1)(c) to date has been a success, where you could see that there was an improvement in the institutional value, or that the administration made a turnaround. But we, and I just want to stress it further, not all of your, as you said, it was not right of you to say that all the councillors were misbehaving in this period, not delivering services. I know of councillors who are working 18 to 20 hours a day to provide services. So I just want to stress that under your attention. Very much.
Well, thank you. Any other input?
Chair?
Will I be right if I say the majority of councillors, as Honourable Tessari say, that they will support the dissolution? And is the VA that says no to the dissolution?
Yes, Chair, you'll be right. Sorry, Chair. Honourable Chair, I explicitly want to say it was the ANC councillors, the political infighting, and the ANC councillors who did not behave, who did not attend, and who did not deliver services. Thank you.
So that's your view. That's the view that you are presenting here. We know that view. This is okay. Honourable Nkosi, I see your hand. I see Honourable Bartlett first.
Yes, Chair. Like I said, Chair, we are not going to debate it further because we already listened to everything. That's the view of Honourable Pastor, but our view still stands to say we are moving forward for the resolution of the Council.
Okay. Honourable Silegu?
Yeah, Chair. I think, Chair, you know my stance. I don't approve.
Okay.
What is important is that advice to the ANC. If they are really serious about the people, they claim that they are serious. They must send competent people into municipalities instead of always running to using the
state.
You are not letting them in the room. You are running away, trying to fix your feet, your family, your fashion, using fake resources, which is unfair to the people of the land.
Please speak to the matter at hand. Don't cast aspersion against another political party over a matter that is on the table.
You know, it's a
true shame,
you know that. Hence your
promise
under administration.
As a political party that we respect, you have a right to send whoever that you send to Parliament to place those people before the people, that the people must elect them, and the people decide. If you support democracy and you understand our constitution as it is, every party has got the right to take its own decisions. And please stop casting aspersions from the issue that is on the table. It will help you. It will help this meeting, please. Please just do that. Let's finish.
My point. Honorable Nkosi, you are the last person.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for that correction. I think we are here as a committee, not as political parties. If we can take that away. If we raise something, let us not politicize this. We are here to assist. Chair, I would like to support Honourable Bartlett on the issue of the dissolution. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Can I conclude that this House resolved that it supports the resolution? It approves the dissolution of the municipality. It calls for the provincial government to do its work effectively and note the fact that it has
not done so effectively in the past, and it calls that the provincial government must do what Section 154 of the Constitution requires it to do, to really, really support the municipality, the true sense of the word, that we call that the administrator and the team that is going to be appointed over this intervening period, they must work very hard to resolve the immediate problems that are facing the municipality, and that includes administration taking action against anyone in the administration, including senior managers of that municipality who have deviated, and if it is possible, where transgressions have happened, that they must open criminal cases against those who are responsible for that, and that we must make sure that the provincial government send competent people with the requisite skills and expertise to do their job, so that during this period they must act decisively to resolve all those particular issues, that they must go and resolve all the issues that are pertaining to the court interdicts, court actions and litigations that are taking place in that particular municipality. I think that this is what we must resolve, but the essence and the gist of this is that, and that we take note of the fact that the minister has approved this intervention as well, and yes, in line with what the national cabinet has indicated, and that we note all the concerns which were raised by all other stakeholders, including SALGA, and that everything else in that sense must be followed up. Can I take that? That should be the resolutions of this meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And I also know the fact that in this committee, the DA is objecting to the dissolution. And part of what Honorable Fisher is saying is that it's not all councillors, it's the ANC councillors who are responsible for the mess that is ensuing in that municipality. With that, Honorable members, can I express my appreciation to all of you? This is not a difficult matter, but I appreciate the fact that you came here this evening. I know that all of you, irrespective, are fully engaged and participating in your political campaigns. I wish you good luck in what you do. Let's hope that at the end of it all of us are going to comply with the Constitution and all other electoral laws to ensure that these elections are free and fair as part of deepening and consolidating our democracy in South Africa. And in that sense, we wish you good luck. In that sense, yeah, as I said, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Aniva. Aniva.